Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Favorites Podcast. I am your host, Tony Squares, along with the co-host, the player prop prince himself, Mr. Chris Dell, sports editor at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and their lead fantasy analyst. We are a member of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We're presented by them, a member of the North Shore Drive podcast family, and you can catch us live on YouTube at PG Sports Now. That's the YouTube channel. Give us a like, give us a subscribe, show us some love, because we're showing you some winners. We're going through all the players we can today from every positional group to give you some winners in your fantasy league, some people to target, some people that might be still available on the waiver wire, some people you're deciding between on your bench. Who am I going to start? Who am I going to sit? We are giving you all the answers we can today for week two. Mr. Dell, how did you do your first week of the fantasy season? We had it. It happened. A lot of defense, not a lot of scoring. Did you actually find some gems out there?
I mean, it was a mixed bag of tricks, that's for sure. There's some players that were locked into people's starting lineups that put up straight goose eggs. Dallas Goedert, Drake London are just two of the guys who were pretty much consensus, you know, top 20 players at their position, top 10 for Goddard. And you wonder, and here's the thing, it's like you don't want to overreact to week one. Week one is overreaction week of the NFL for fantasy football, for betting. And I think what we want to do is we want to take advantage of people overreacting. I'm in one league where my projections this week have me for 140 plus points, and last week I scored 80. It was just I had Jamar Chase, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, Davante Adams all on the same team. It's a keeper league, and I had one of the worst scores of the week. So you know what? I'm not going to fret about it. I'm happy about some of the hits. Some of the misses, what you got to do is you either change course, you take the information in, and you try not to be stubborn about it, because being successful at fantasy football is being willing to change and adjust your opinion on the fly. So I pretty much was half and half across the different leagues I had, but I'm definitely ready to start attacking that overreaction and start getting that win percentage a little higher for week two and beyond, man.
I'm excited for it too. I had a lot of fun this fantasy week. You're talking to one of the only people in America that actually drafted Puka Nacua. I didn't start him, but he's on my bench and I'm very happy he's there. And there are some players out there that I was right on. There are some players out there that I don't think I was right on and I've already cut bait with. But now is the time we're starting to figure out what these players are, what our projections were, what our scientific facts were, and we're trying to get back the information we can from the research that we've done. And let's dive right in, man. Let's go into week two. We've seen these guys play. Everyone's had a few snaps, some more than Aaron Rodgers. And now we get to dive in to see exactly what we can do for week two to make ourselves better. Maybe you lost Aaron Rodgers. Maybe you lost one of your quarterbacks, one of your players already. J.K. Dobbins might have been your running back. We're trying to help you rebuild because it's not over yet. There's plenty of time to get this team together and get some wins. So let's dive into the quarterback position, a position that was a remarkable. Mac Jones was the QB2. Tua was the QB1, which you gave out last week, Chris Dell, is a guy you wanted to highlight. Jordan Love, my guy, the reason I'm wearing a Green Bay jersey right now, finished as the QB3 thanks to playing the awful Chicago Bears defense. Anything can happen to the quarterback position, but we're trying to tell you exactly where to go. Last week, we did pretty well here. As I said, you gave out Tua, who was a QB1. I gave out Herbert, who was the QB4. And I will say, though, your bust of the week was Deshaun Watson, who somehow ended up rolled in a monsoon to being the QB6, thanks to whatever the heck Cincinnati was doing on defense. So let's stay away from giving out a bust of a QB6. But the first person we're talking about this week, Chris Dell, Who is it?
Yeah, you know, one of the quarterbacks that I was really high on in the preseason, and I had tempered expectations in week one. Let's just put it that way, Tony. But you know my guy, one of my three favorites that I wanted to draft a lot of was the rookie Anthony Richardson.
Oh,
and,
no.
You know, Anthony Richardson came out, and look, I thought personally that he was going to be the Tim Tebow of 2023, Tony, that he was going to run some more, but then look terrible passing the ball. But you know what? He actually looked pretty good throwing the ball in week one.
He really did.
You start to think about what Shane Steichen, and look, this is as small a sample as you can get. Look at the first week of Jalen Hurts without Shane Steichen, and look at the first week of Anthony Richardson with Shane Steichen in Indianapolis. And I'm not saying that that's how it's going to play out the rest of the year, but it's not like he played against some cupcake defense, and he fed Michael Pittman the ball, a guy who I was low on, who I was wrong on in that aspect. He fed the rookie Josh Downs out of the slot. Even the running backs were involved in the passing game, which was very surprising to me. But this is, to me, is a schemed, strategically, specifically schemed type of offense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the rushing touchdown, yes, technically that got us up there. But Anthony Richardson, he finished as the quarterback 4 overall. I mean, it's funny to think of who the top 5 quarterbacks were. Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, Jordan Love, Anthony Richardson, Deshaun Watson. No one in a million billion years would have guessed that, but I really like Anthony Richardson this week. He gets an even better matchup on paper against the Houston Texans, who, yeah, they were able to pressure Lamar Jackson a little bit, but I think just another week under Anthony Richardson's belt, another week of chemistry and comfortability in the pocket. His injury situation is not serious. He was a full go in practice here on Wednesday, so I'm riding this guy all year long. If you've got him on your roster, you're starting him unless he gets hurt or unless he somehow gets benched because of some type of injury. So Anthony Richardson's my guy. I've got him ranked as the QB3 overall this week. I've got Anthony Richardson ranked ahead of Josh Allen, ahead of Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. I've actually got him QB2 only behind Jalen Hurts. I think he's going to explode this week in week 2.
All right, that is a way to start off the show. A Rich being the first QB out the gate. Let me give you my first quarterback I want to talk about. And this is a guy I circled based on the games I saw, rewatching all these games, seeing how the matchups worked out. And this is a guy I'm actually selling on. I don't think he's going to do as well as he did last week. I do think he's playing a much tougher team this week because of just based on what they did to the quarterback they played week one. And this quarterback that I am selling on that I just don't think is going to reach as high as he did the week before is Anthony Richardson of the Indianapolis Colts. I'm not joking you, Chris. That's the guy I had written down because you were absolutely right. A. Rich looked much better as a passer than I thought he ever would. He also had the most designed QB runs out of anyone in the NFL, which is great for fantasy options. He obviously ran in the red zone touchdown for the first one, and he was spreading the ball around to guys like Kylan Granson and Mo Alie-Cox. He was making throws all over the place. I will say, the Jacksonville defense gave no pressure to Anthony Richardson and the Indianapolis Colts whatsoever. And when A. Rich had to drop back and throw the ball when they were behind, which they will be behind most weeks in the year, it was not a good look. And Anthony Richardson was throwing balls that were intercepted or close to being intercepted a lot. I am also not big on the running game with what's happening in Indianapolis. It's all going to be on Anthony Richardson's shoulders. And as the season goes along, teams will adjust to that. However, the other thing that impressed me the most last week was how good Houston's defense was against a Baltimore offense that I really, really liked this year. They made Lamar's life really difficult, especially when he tried to escape the pocket and get some runs himself. They were not good at stopping the run. They were not J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, Gus Edwards were getting by on this Houston team. But when it came to passing, when it came to Lamar Jackson dropping back, they were able to get pressure on him with Will Anderson and others on the defensive line. And they were able to really stop, other than Zay Flowers. And believe me, Indianapolis doesn't have a Zay Flowers. Other than Zay Flowers, they were able to stop some wide receivers there in Baltimore from getting open and making plays. I think Anthony Richardson, who will do well because of his rushing capability, that floor is extremely high. I think you can find a lot of players who are going to outscore him this week because I do think Houston punches some people in the mouth. And it's going to be a very fun game. I don't know who's going to win. I do think it's going to be lower scoring, and I do not trust Anthony Richardson this week against that Houston defense. So I'm not even joking. That was the first name I had. I was going to talk about him no matter what, and we're dead set against each other.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Heads ahead. You got to be willing to live it a little dangerously in fantasy football. And like you said, it could be ugly. He could struggle throwing the ball a little more this week, but I put more stock into Jacksonville's defense than I do Houston's defense. Baltimore had some offensive line injuries. Lamar Jackson had the worst out of all 32 starting quarterbacks, worst quarterback rating, went under pressure in week one. I don't know if that's a compliment to the Texans defensive line or really a negative towards the Ravens offensive line or the first week of them in the Todd Monken air raid offense, but we'll see. I think with the rushing floor, like you said, Anthony Richardson led the NFL in quarterback rush attempts. He had 10 overall, including scrambles. Justin Fields had 9. But again, this is a situation where it doesn't got to look pretty in real life. It's going to get there for you. And he's ranked right now in the industry at QB9. So I think if you got him, you start him, because I don't know if you have it, you know, maybe you have him and Daniel Jones, maybe you have him and Geno Smith. I'd start Richardson over those two guys this week.
Nobody should ever start Daniel Jones ever again. QB number two, though, who are we talking about, Dell?
Yeah, so I'm gonna go back to a guy. I believe I gave him out as a sleeper, one of my guys last week. I'm going right back to the Commanders. I'm going to Sam Howell.
Interesting.
He actually finished as a top 12 quarterback. You know, it didn't look pretty. They almost dropped a huge game to the tanking Arizona Cardinals team. But at the same time, we saw why we liked Sam Howell coming into this season, because he runs the ball. He had a rushing touchdown, but in a game where I think that they realized they needed to use his legs a little more to be successful. Terry McLaurin was nowhere near 100% in that matchup either. So I think going here in week two, again, like this is Sam Howell's first full year as a starter. This is a guy that I think it's like, look, you probably have better options, but if for some reason you waited till the final rounds of your draft to take a quarterback, I think he's more than a viable streamer at the quarterback position. Right now, I have Sam Howell ranked inside my top 13, so I think he's a borderline starter. You're going to get another week with Terry McLaurin. I think that the Commanders shook the rust off a little bit. They got the win, and I don't think they're going to be caught off guard again. And when you're looking at the schedule overall, I'm not concerned about their matchup coming up here against the Broncos, a team that's looking like they're just in all sorts of disarray, both offensively and defensively. Losing to the Raiders in week one, Sean Payton doesn't look like he has the answers either. So I'm going to bet on Howell to run a little bit more, to have a healthier McLaurin. I think he'll be a borderline starter again, just like he was in week one.
The thing that scared me about Sam Howell and Washington as a whole, Sam Howell was one of the most sacked quarterbacks last week, and I don't think Arizona is very good. They were very aggressive, though, Arizona was, and Washington could not keep up with it. So I wonder if other defenses are going to notice that and send more blitzes at Sam Howell than usual. But I'm right there with you. His rushing ability definitely takes the cake. I'm surprised he's not one of your sleepers, though, because he's still going to be pretty low. This guy, however, I would start over Sam Howell. I would start over Anthony Richardson, and he does not have the rushing ability. So that, you know, I understand rushing. You want that rushing quarterback. This guy's a pure pocket passer. I just believe the matchup is ripe. It's Jared Goff of the Detroit Lions. This Detroit team did really well against Kansas City. Kansas City has a great defensive coordinator trying to take away things they want to do well. And they also have a bunch of young guys, Detroit does, that they're trying to get along, like Sam LaPorta and Jahmyr Gibbs. And they still won a very tough game in Kansas City. This offense, it just plays really, really efficient ball. And yes, I know it's Josh Reynolds. Yes, I know it's Marvin Jones. They can really throw the ball to whoever they want because of the way the offense is planned out. And they're playing a team, Seattle, who was one of the most disappointing teams from week one. Nothing Seattle did worked out well. And I think Seattle's really going to struggle to put up points themselves because of all the injuries that they now have on the offensive line. On the other side of the field, Matt Stafford did whatever he wanted to do against this Seattle defense. Now, could that be a divisional thing? Matt Stafford knows, and Sean McVay knows what Seattle's going to run so they can beat it. I don't believe so. The middle of the field was wide open, whether it was Tyler Higbee, Puka Nacua, Tutu Atwell. That middle of the field, intermediate to deep, was wide open. And there is no one in the NFL, Pat Mahomes and the best of the best are different, but no one in the NFL of the mediocre to good quarterbacks better at throwing to the middle of the field than Jared Goff. Give me a three-step drop. Give me a planned, this is the rhythm of the play. Jared comes out of 10, and he has players to do so. Amon-Ra St. Brown should eat so much in this game, and I have Jared Goff being the recipient of a lot of passing yards and a lot of passing touchdowns. Love Goff as my QB here. I'd start him almost – I'd really put him really high in my personal QB rankings for this week and this week alone. These two teams played against each other last week. They both scored 40 points. That's all I got to say. Dell. Last QB we're going to talk about, it is the official sleeper of the week. Drum roll, please. And it's a QB. Who's it going to be? Because I got one too, baby. I'm giving you a surprise if you don't name the guy I want you to name.
We got the bonus sleeper, man. Zach Wilson with the New York Jets.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm just messing with you. Today.
Okay. Right. I was going to have to end this show.
No, so this is a guy I have ranked right next to Sam. I've actually got him ranked one spot ahead. So whether you want to consider this sleeper, starter, whatever, I think both these guys, both him and Howell, qualify as sleepers technically in terms of quarterbacks for this week. But, I really like Brock Purdy a lot in week two. Okay. And I'm not concerned about the matchup. Los Angeles came into this – they're playing against the Rams in week two, the 49ers are. Los Angeles came into the year – supposedly with one of the worst defenses in the league, but they looked pretty good in week one against a Seattle team that had its own myriad of issues and injuries on their offensive line as well. But when you look at what Brock Purdy has done and been able to do, he was a top 10 fantasy quarterback in a game where the 49ers just simply didn't need to throw the ball at all in the second half. He was very efficient. We know he's got wheels if he needs it. He added three carries for 20 yards. He has the mobility to extend plays in the pocket. I expect a much more competitive game here. And if these two teams even push each other just a little bit, we have a total of in the mid-40s. And I think that's the Vegas market showing us that, this isn't going to be your typical, grinded out 49ers-Rams defensive slog. The Rams offense looked halfway decent, if not really good in week one. I don't know if they look as good in week two against this Niners defense, but I expect a little bit of back and forth offensive efficiency from both sides here. I trust Kyle Shanahan. I trust Sean McVay calling plays on the other side. So Purdy, to me, I think he's got an even higher ceiling than he did in week one, to where we're talking about quarterback 10 in week one. My only concern with him coming into the year is he really healthy? Is his arm, his elbow going to be right? Those things look good, and look at the weapons he has, man. Christian McCaffrey, Debo, IU, George Kittle even getting a little bit healthier as the weeks go on. So I like Brock Purdy a lot. He's one of those guys, again, if you had a guy you were disappointed in week one, Geno Smith, Daniel Jones, I've got those guys all grouped together around that QB9, QB13 range. I would not hesitate to start Purdy if you need a spot start for week two.
I like Purdy. I like Purdy a lot. I do think I would start Purdy. I would start Howell. I would start Anthony Richardson. I would start Jared Goff. All the players we've named over the player I'm about to name. This is an emergent break glass in case of emergency quarterback. Are you in a deep league? Did you have Aaron Rodgers on your team? Maybe you had Aaron Rodgers and Daniel Jones as your two quarterbacks, and now you're like, oh my God, what do I do? There's a guy that I guarantee you is available on your waiver wire, and it's a name you know and a name that you hate, but a name for an offense that did really, really well and surprised a lot of people. Why did they do really well? Because they have excellent players, excellent skill position players, and a decent enough offensive line for right now, and they played a defense that was just terrible. And what happens this week? They play a defense that is just terrible. Dell, can you tell me again, who was the QB2 in the rankings from week one?
Mac Jones finished QB2.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Who was the QB3 in the rankings for Mac one for week one?
It's your boy, Jordan Love, man.
It was my boy, Jordan Love. I'm not telling you to start Jordan Love. I'm telling you Jordan Love is the QB3 from last week because he played the awful, repugnant, terrible, putrid Chicago Bears defense. And you know who plays the Chicago Bears defense? The guy who finished QB12 last week, it's Baker Mayfield. That's the sleeper of the week. Again, you don't want to start Baker unless you absolutely have to. But if you're stuck between the Baker, Ryan Tannehill, Desmond Howard, what do I do in this waiver wire? go for Baker. He's going to win you this week. That's the sleeper. But let's talk about running backs, okay? Spent way too long talking about quarterbacks. Going to power through some of these running backs here because a lot of them were surprises. A lot of them were big-time surprises this in week one. And, of course, we had J.K. Dobbins go down, which you never want to see. We have some running backs coming back from injury. It's very interesting to see where this position goes. And we had a lot of split carry backfields that we did not prognosticate correctly. Tank Bigsby, where were you? Where were you, Tank Bigsby? It was all Travis Etienne. But that's okay. We're trying to find more guys for week two. Dell, first running back we're talking about, who is it?
Yeah, I'm gonna start at the top of the board, and I won't just name all guys in the top 10, but to me, it's Tony Pollard first and foremost for week two. The matchup,
Tony Pollard.
I know it's every week. I'm obligated for advertising purposes to talk about Tony Pollard, but I mean, look at what he did. He was a top five running back in week one, and he barely played in the second half. And we talked about it in the preseason episodes. This Dallas Cowboys. Not just the offense, but the backfield has been a fantasy goldmine for years now. And we saw, you know, with the departure of Zeke Elliott, all those touches, all those touchdowns. I mean, look, in the second half, we saw Rico Dowdle, Kevontae Turpin, Deuce Vaughn. They combined for 15 carries. Tony Pollard only had 14 carries in the game, scored two rushing touchdowns. In the receiving game, only had three targets. I expect in any type of competitive game for those targets to go up. But we could see another game very similar to what we saw in week one because the Cowboys are playing against – Zach Wilson and the New York Jets here. And I know the Jets pulled out the, you know, gutty borderline miracle win on Monday Night Football, but I think things come back to reality, especially with Zach Wilson facing this Cowboys defense. So again, like Pollard, you're going to start him if you have him, but I think for DFS, I think for trade purposes, like if you can somehow target this guy to get him on your team, I'm in a league, for example, where I'm loaded at wide receiver, but my running backs are average. And I've got a guy who's in the opposite situation. He's loaded at running back, but his wide receivers are terrible. I'm trying to trade one of my starting wide receivers away to get Tony Pollard. And I think that that's something that you can do if you drafted wide receiver heavy. So I've got Pollard ranked as RB2. Industry right now has Pollard ranked as RB6. And that was the same thing that happened last week. He was RB8 or 9. I had him as the RB2 or 3 overall. So I'm very high in the ceiling outcome for Tony Pollard again in week two here.
I'll only be less surprised if your next running back is Alexander Mattison, as the two running backs that you love more than anyone in the whole entire world, Tony Pollard and Alexander Mattison. But I'm about to give you the first running back off of my list. And last week when I gave you the first running back off of my list, he ended as the first running back overall in fantasy. And that's my guy, Aaron Jones of the Green Bay Packers. Listen, I'm all about matchups. I'm all about defense. I'm all about what did teams do in the previous few games that we saw that we can capitalize on. And if you look at the running back rankings from week one, you're going to see two running backs from the same team in the top 12. And that's because this defense that they played let up over 230 yards rushing in a single football game. And that's the team that's playing against Miami. New England knows that they now have a chance to make the playoffs. New England knows that with the Aaron Rodgers injury, with the Bills looking as bad as they do, they're really focusing on Miami. And who do they get this week? They get Miami at home at Gillette. And they need to win after losing to Philadelphia, a game that they should have won themselves. How do you beat this high-flying Tua Miami offense? Tua threw for over – how many yards did he throw Tyreek Hill all over the place? You beat them the same way the Rams beat Seattle, by running the ball down their throats and just – bit by bit, piece by piece, controlling that time of possession. And the number one player to do that on New England is Ramondre Stevenson. If you have him, you're starting him. If you're deciding between Ramondre and another guy, you need to start Ramondre because, again, Austin Ekeler destroyed this Miami defense, and so did his backup, Joshua Kelly, whether it was in passing out of the backfield or whether it was running straight up the gut. This is going to be New England's bread and butter. They are going to pound this team. I know they have injuries along the interior of the offensive line, but I thought they played pretty well against one of the best defensive lines in the world in Philadelphia. I think they beat the crap out of this Miami team in the trenches, and I think Ramondre is better off for it. That's my number one running back. I do think he finishes RB1 this week just because Miami can't stop it. Dell, your third RB, or I guess second RB, the third one we're talking about.
Yeah, so not Madison. I'll go to a different guy here, but I'll work my way down to the RB2 range, and it's a guy actually I've ranked in the top 10, but right now consensus has him ranked as RB26. I have him as RB9, and we saw him on Monday night, man. It's Breece Hall.
Unbelievable. First off, unbelievable that he looked as good as he did after just blowing himself up last year. The recovery's unreal.
And I don't think that he's 100% either, but he's healthy enough to play. When you look at the split, Dalvin Cook ended that game with more carries, 13 carries for 33 yards, averaged a paltry 2.5 yards per carry, whereas Breece Hall averaged 12.7. Even if you take away the 80-yard gain by Breece Hall, which is what he showed us he can do quite often last season in his rookie year, he still would have had 9 carries for almost 50 yards. So he's averaging a healthy 5-6 yards per carry, even without the big run. We saw him get a couple targets in the passing game. But, you know, this is who the Jets will have to rely on if they want to have any chance at continuing to maybe make the playoffs, no matter what they do at the quarterback position. So Dallas, I think that they have a great pass rush. They have a very talented secondary. The one area where teams have had success these last couple seasons against them has been on the ground. And I believe that you're looking in week 2 coming out, I expect Breece Hall to get way more than 10 carries in this game. I expect him to get more than 2 targets. And when you look at his efficiency, his touchdown equity, his target potential, to me, he's got to be at least in the top 15. I think the market is just 10 spots too low because they see the 3 letters DAL on the opponent matchup, and they're scared of that Cowboys defense. But Breece Hall is going to get a ton of touches in this game, and I think he'll get there even if he doesn't score a touchdown. So he's actually the guy I'm highest on looking at the top 20, top 30 running backs here for week 2.
I like it. I like it a lot. And there's a lot of running backs out there that I don't like. A lot of running back names that finished really high last week that I don't think are going to continue finishing at that level. And we're going to do a little bit of a buy or sell segment later on in the show with some of those names. But I will say Breece Hall is a guy that I'm buying completely, and I'm right there with you, Dell. A guy that I'm also buying completely from that just cavalcade of people that just surprisingly did so much better than last week is Tyler Allgeier of the Atlanta Falcons. Not because I don't believe in Bijan. Not because I don't believe in Bijan's capability. You saw him; he's excellent. I think you have 2 RB1s in this offense. I really do, because of Atlanta's commitment to continuously run the ball. Listen, if you drafted Drake London or Kyle Pitts, I'm sorry. They're not going to do much for you. But if you drafted Tyler Allgeier or Bijan, you could have amazing years in fantasy. And Allgeier, he had almost 50% of the snaps. And every time he touched the ball, he deserved to be out there. He was bowling people over. He had some of the best broken tackles I've seen. And maybe it was a bad tackling team in Carolina they were playing. But Tyler Allgeier ran people over and over and over again. And I just think he's going to be used in a facet in that offense. The Chicago running backs had a lot of room to move against the Green Bay defense this week. They weren't able to capitalize on it until later on in the game. Roshon Johnson had a great first career game. And this Green Bay defense wants to step back and wants to defend the pass. Desmond Ridder needs to be able to stretch the field to keep Green Bay's defensive backs back there. But I think they do enough. And the Arthur Smith's run concepts are so beautiful that I think doesn't matter. It's going to be a successful running game against my Green Bay defense. Tyler Allgeier is my RB2. I'm starting him this week, and I'm starting him every week. He's cemented in there. Dell, the last running back we're going to talk about, it's not a good guy. Not the sleeper of the week. That was already in the quarterbacks. We're talking about the bust of the week, the bust of the week. And you are pretty good at getting busts, because last week you gave out DeAndre Swift as your you wanted people to play DeAndre Swift last week, so never mind. Maybe we should reverse this. Either way, you got your nose on the bus. Who we got?
Let's not forget, you're the one that said you were down on Tua Tagovailoa, my friend. All right, Tony, we'll have to compare the Anthony Richardson totals after week 2. No, I mean, look, this is a guy I talked about as one of my preseason busts. If you listen to this show, you mentioned Kyle Pitts before. If you listen to this show and you take our advice, you probably didn't draft Kyle Pitts. If you listen to this show on running backs, you probably didn't draft any Najee Harris. But if you somehow did, Najee Harris is someone I'm not touching with a 10-foot pole at week 2, man. I don't care. You know, look, the matchup, let's say in week 1, was as tough as you're ever going to get against the San Francisco 49ers. But you know, this Cleveland Browns defense is pretty good too, man. I mean, look at what they did to my guy, Joey B. So, look, Najee Harris, we talked about this ad nauseum, that second half of last year's regular season, he essentially lost his pass game role to Jalen Warren. Third down snaps, no huddle, 2-minute drill, et cetera, et cetera. What did we see in the preseason when they played their starters? The same type of usage for Najee compared to Warren. What did we see in week one? The exact same thing. Najee was actually outtouched by Jaylen Warren in this game, and his efficiency on the ground was just god awful outside of one lucky 20-yard run that he sprung out off the right tackle. You saw some of the quotes from the San Francisco 49ers defense. They were actually hoping that the Steelers would get a first down so they could actually get a little bit of rest and not have to
rush. That was an insane quote.
It was so bad. And it's not because I'm in Pittsburgh here or this is a post-Gazette show. I think a lot of Steelers fans know that Najee, when he has a tough matchup, he really struggles in terms of yards after tackle, in terms of what he can break off after first contact. So for me, Najee Harris, look, in week one, he was RB45 in half PPR scoring. Yeah. And I'm trying to be as low as possible in the rankings. I've got him at RB37, which would actually be an improvement off week one. But the problem is the industry continues to rank him so high based off the fact he's a former first-round pick and he had a great rookie season. We're now 2 years removed from that. The industry has him at RB20. I think RB37 is being generous. I'm not starting him unless I'm in the absolute deepest of leagues and I'm completely desperate because of injuries this week.
Oh, that's so sad. That's the Pittsburgh faithful that watch this show and listen to this podcast. They suffered enough last week. It was the worst. Oh, man, I can't believe being a Pittsburgh fan and watching that game last week. And now you're just burying him some more with taking their boy Najee out to the back like he's old Yeller. Unbelievable. Let's move on.
I have Jaylen Warren ranked ahead of Najee. I had Jaylen Warren ranked ahead of Najee in week one. I ranked Jaylen Warren ahead of Najee for the preseason draft rankings, too. And I'm sticking to it, man.
And your boy Freiermuth caught a touchdown. But let's move on to the wide receivers. Dell, I'm going right back to you. I want to rifle through these wide receivers here. Who's the first wide receiver you want to talk about in a position that was unbelievably surprising this week?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think what one guy that you got to look at that's kind of sandwiched in that top 20 range that in week one I had him on the team, I didn't even start him. But, you know, this is one performance that I'm not going to overreact to. And it's going back to the San Francisco 49ers and Brandon Ayuk. I think that wide receiver 15 is not high enough. I would put him as a borderline locked in top 12, top 10 wide receiver this week. He gets arguably an even better matchup than he did against the Pittsburgh Steelers in week one. And what do we talk about with Purdy in this passing game? They didn't need to throw the ball hardly, if at all, in the second half. I expect this to be a little bit more competitive here in week two, to where they're going to need to throw the ball with a little bit more urgency. And yes, Debo is there, Kittle, CMC, yes, they're all there, but CMC is not going to rush for 160 yards on the ground every single week either. So I think Brandon Ayuk, we saw from the second that Purdy took over that job last season, Ayuk was the number one target earner in that offense, despite a very talented and very crowded receiver core, if you include McCaffrey in that mix. So I've got Ayuk locked in as my starter for the rest of the year. I'm starting him over my guy, Mike Williams, who I was very high on entering the season, even though I do still like Mike Williams.
Another guy, surprisingly, Dell, another Mike Williams day where he leaves the game injured. Just want to throw that out there for the Mike Williams truthers. No, I'm right with you there. I'm right with you there on Brandon Ayuk. And some people say, well, he got most of his points from touchdowns. Yeah, he got two touchdowns, but he also had eight catches for 129 yards. Without the touchdowns, you take that out of your wide receiver position every single week. I'm with you. And we were pretty good on getting some wide receivers last week. You did give out Zay Flowers. You finished wide receiver 16, according to ESPN. I gave out Mike Evans, wide receiver 13. So we did pretty well picking out some wide receivers. I'm not talking about a guy you want to buy, though, this week, because I'm talking about a guy that you need to sell. And I feel bad because, again, we're bagging on this team. But Atlanta's not going to be able to pass the ball on Green Bay. They're not going to be able to pass the ball on Green Bay. Jair Alexander is a man on a mission. You saw it if you watched that Green Bay game. DJ Moore had two catches. One of those catches, Jair Alexander was on the other side of the field. Jair likes to follow the number one wide receiver and shut them out and talk to them the whole entire time. He's my favorite Packer I think I've seen, I want to say, in about 10 years, just because of the swagger he brings. He might get a 15-yard penalty every once in a while for being too much of a swagger guy, but he is there, and he's going to take Drake London out. You know how I know this? Drake London, did he get a target on Sunday? I think he's still waiting for his first target of the season. At one point in the game, this is late into the third quarter, Desmond Ridder had 9 of 12 passes for, I think, 31 yards. They are not throwing the ball in Atlanta. They are not doing it. and Drake London is a casualty of this. I'm sure they're going to try to get him in the action because Arthur Smith is going to be like, we need to get Drake London involved. So I'm sure you're going to see some early action out of him. He's going to have a higher floor than zero that he had last week. But I just don't think it's going to be anywhere close to a startable wide receiver playing against the defense he's playing against. So I'm out on Drake London. Sell him completely. See if you can trade him for something right now, because he's droppable, in my opinion. Dell, your third wide receiver.
I tell you what, I wouldn't drop Drake London, but at the same time, I don't know who's trading for him. You're going to get pennies on the dollar. So it's a really tough situation. My thought on Drake London is just wait for him to do anything halfway respectable and then trade him away. If Drake London scores 3 touchdowns this week, trade him, because that's when you want to try and sell and get the most out of it. I agree 100% on that one. But for me, another receiver that I really like this week, just looking down the board, this is a guy that finished top 11, top 12. And I actually think that it's not a fluke that he finished as a starting wide receiver. Love the talent, possible year 2 breakout, New Orleans Saints, Rashid Shaheed.
Really?
Shaheed was being used like a Deebo Samuel for the New Orleans Saints. They specifically drew up the play that got them the game-winning first down at the end of that game and the win against the Tennessee Titans in week 1 here. So, again, like looking at the Saints overall, you know, Michael Thomas, he looked respectable, but we wonder, can his health actually hold up over the course of a full season, because it's been about 3 to 4 years since we've actually seen him do that. And then Chris Olave, I expect to get the attention of a lot of opposing secondaries. Very talented receiver, top 10, borderline top 10 fantasy wide receiver. But Shaheed is a real weapon. And we saw that the big plays he made throughout his rookie season with Andy Dalton at quarterback, that's already being translated in week 1. So, look, I'm not saying Shaheed's going to finish as a top 11 receiver like he did in week 1, but if you need a wide receiver 3, if you need a flex with high upside, he gives you that high upside to break off those big plays. Expect to see him on many SportsCenter top 10 highlight reels to come, because this guy's got he's got the burners. And Tony, what other wide receiver do you know of that wears the number 22? I thought he was a running back out there when I first saw him, and then I realized it was Rashid Shaheed. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, but he looked fantastic, and I expect the Saints to get a little better and more efficient on offense the more Derek Carr gets comfortable under center. So I had him as a borderline sleeper. I think he's just a stud waiting to happen in New Orleans this season.
I was interested to see that one, because I just don't know how that New Orleans – that Tennessee defense played to the best of their abilities against New Orleans. So I'm interested to see how New Orleans plays against a defense that isn't as good as Tennessee's, because I think it could open up for all those players, including Rashid Shaheed. My second wide receiver that I want to talk about, I want to give out DJ Moore and tell you got to sell him, because Chicago played as poorly as they did, and I don't believe Justin Fields is an NFL quarterback. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go positive, okay? I already gave out a sell. I'm going to go positive. This is another guy like Drake London who scored a goose egg, and this is a guy who you probably drafted really, really high, and this is a guy who you're sitting at going like, well, do I start my third wide receiver over him? Like, what's going to happen? You got a zero. It's T. Higgins. Trust T. Higgins, because this Cincinnati team, Cleveland played them really well. They were playing in a monsoon. Joe Burrow looked awful. And what do they get this week? They get a really tough Baltimore team. You guys remember Baltimore, right? Baltimore is the defense that punches you in the mouth, that tackles you behind the line of scrimmage, that elbows you in the head. This is not the same Baltimore defense. This is a Houston team that could move the ball against that Baltimore defense. And then Baltimore lost even more defensive players in the backfield that won't be playing in this game. Cincinnati needs to come up and get better and have a comeback game. And I don't know if they win this game. I do know that they perform a lot better. Guys like Robert Woods and Nico Collins were getting huge target shares and actually catching the ball for good yardage against Baltimore. Nico Collins and Robert Woods are nowhere near as good as Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. Jamar Chase, you're all obviously going to start. T. Higgins, you might be on the fence on after his week 1 performance. Don't do it. T. Higgins bounces back big time this week. I'm starting T. Higgins everywhere. That's the second wide receiver I'll give you. Dell, last wide receiver we're going to talk about is the stash of the week, the guy that you need to put in your back pocket and make sure he's on your team. Might not start him, but he's definitely on your bench. You gave out Jaden Reed last week, and I think it was a very good decision. That guy was all over the place for Green Bay. I think he gets more involved as the season goes along. Who's your stash for this week?
Yeah, so like I said, it was Shaheed for me. It was like the sleeper, starter, stash. I want him on as much teams as I can get right now, and he's not that high owned. But at the same time, there's a couple other guys in that 25% threshold area, and one guy that I want to talk about where maybe you don't want to start him here in week 2, but a couple people might have dropped him because they might have been a little frustrated in week one from Kansas City, and that's another rookie wide receiver, Rashee Rice. I think that you look at the struggles from Kadarius Toney, how long the leash is he going to get? How big of a disappointment was Sky Moore when a lot of people started him thinking he was going to be the biggest beneficiary of Travis Kelce's offense? But look, Rashee Rice's routes were limited in that game, but he was targeted in the red zone. He did receive a very good target share in terms of his targets per route run rate, which is a metric you want to look at when in terms of talented guys who are going to get more playing time as the year goes on. So I think he's a guy I saw dropped in one of my leagues this week. I wanted to make sure I added him to my bench because look at your waiver wire. Like, you know who a lot of these guys are. Devontae Parker with the Patriots. We see with Marvin Mims, he's a guy I was high on, but Jerry Jeudy's coming back into that offense now. So, the opportunities are going to go down for him. I think with Travis Kelce in this offense is going to increase the efficiency and production from the receivers because they're going to have more room to operate. And I don't expect it to always be Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Justin Watson. We know who those guys are. So again, I'm not putting Rashee Rice in my starting lineup, but he's a guy who should not be on waiver wires unless you're in like a very shallow 10 team league. So he's my official stash of the week right now for week two.
I like it. I picked him up in a few leagues myself. I think he could be a really, really good player. But we got a bunch of names that we did not talk about from the first three positional groups. And obviously, we're going to talk about tight ends in a second. But there's a bunch of people out there that we're going to quick hit right now with a little buy or sell. I'm going to give Dell some names. And I will say, I had a bunch of names listed, and three of them you've already talked about in our group chat here. So I already know you're buying Brock Purdy's and Rashid Shaheed's of the world. So those are the names we're talking about right now. Dell, quick one word answer, buy or sell. I'll start the list right now. We can start the timer. The first name is my favorite, Puka Nacua.
Buy.
Yeah. Tutu Atwell, his teammate.
Sell.
Sell and Tutu, buying Puka. All right. The Carolina tight end, Hayden Hurst.
Sell.
Stelling Hayden Hurst, Bryce Young's little safety valve, the Washington tight end, Logan Thomas, the return of Logan Thomas.
Sell, that's an easy one.
That's a lot of targets. Sam Howell looked at him a lot. Chris, another tight end that got a lot of targets. Granted, they didn't lead to a lot of yards, but this guy was targeted over 33% of the time for this team. Zach Ertz out of Arizona.
I mean, I like Hayden Hurst more than the last two guys, but I'm selling Zach Ertz.
Okay. Let's go to some better players. My man, Jordan Love. Huh?
I'm buying.
Huh?
Buying.
Really?
I'm buying.
I'll take it, baby. All right. Let's get to a running back that surprised everyone. And if you drafted Cam Akers, 22 carries for 29 yards, you couldn't be angrier. But the name is LA Rams running back Kyren Williams.
He's a big buy. Big
really?
Buy. Yeah.
Let's absolutely stay on that for a second. Why is he a big buy? Because of the volume that he had? Because of the offense?
It's both because they expressed last year they wanted to use him and feature him in creative ways. He got hurt.
Yeah.
They sat him out the entire preseason. They talked about making him their receiving back. And if he's running all the routes, getting all the targets, and Cam Akers just running into the offensive line, he's going to get the high-value touches. So tough matchup this week, but absolutely a buy.
All right, two more running backs here. They both play on the same team, J.K. Dobbins replacements. First name is Justice Hill.
I mean, Adam.
Put it this way: Justice Hill or Gus Edwards? Who you taking?
I'd take Justice Hill.
Think Gus Edwards gets more of the looks, though.
I think Gus Edwards will never catch a pass. Maybe he catches a pass. You know,
Fair enough. All right, three more pass catchers to throw us out. My man Romeo Doubs.
I'm selling.
You're selling the two touchdown kick.
27 yards.
Okay, fine. I mean, he's coming off a hamstring injury. They're working him back, but that's okay.
Watson, Reed, and Musgrave. I take all three of them over Dobbs.
Unbelievable. All right, two more wide receivers. This guy might not play this week, but he will come back and was a big, big player the first week in a new offense for him, Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, he's a bye, but he's probably not going to play, like you said, with the head injury. But I think he could be a flex option, top 25, top 30 receiver consistently. He's a talented player.
And the last one, this one is a name we've all heard before and a name that just you never get excited about. But if they're going to use him the way they used him in week one against one of the best defenses in the league, against some of the best cornerback tandems in the league, he produced. The man's name is Kendrick Bourne.
Sell, because Devontae Parker is coming back and the Patriots threw the ball 56 times. So
yes, they did.
if you reduce that to a standard 30, that means Bourne's only getting like six targets. So you have to look at the volume there. I don't expect that to be there. In a deep league, he's worth adding to your bench. But overall, you're never going to be able to sell higher than you are now, in my opinion.
That's why you're here. That was our buy and sell. Let's each give. We're just getting through a couple more positions here. I know it's been a long show, but let's give out one tight end each here, Dell. One tight end each. Doesn't need to be a sleeper, a stash, a buy, or whatever. It's just one tight end you want to highlight, whether you're buying or selling him for this week in particular. Is there one tight end you want to circle and put your name on?
Yeah. One of my guys in the preseason, I'm sticking to my guns here, but Jake Ferguson.
It was a bad first game for him.
No, it wasn't. The Cowboys won. This is why you cannot just look at box scores, Tony.
I watched that game too. Every target was 2 yards.
Yes, but he had six targets at halftime, and CeeDee Lamb had one target at halftime. So he is literally soaking up the targets. Dak Prescott, for three straight years heading into 2023, led the NFL in terms of quarterbacks who targeted the tight end position. And if no other tight ends are going to run routes like Ferguson did, then ignore the box score and buy him. Try to trade for him on the cheap, pick him up, because he's going to be a viable spot, top 10 starting tight end.
But what's the difference between him, who had, again, six targets, and by halftime, all those targets were lower than 5 yards. He was the check down master, and that's usually the tight end in this system. What's the difference between him, Jake Ferguson, a guy who's not going to leap off the page athletically and make huge splash plays like a Darren Waller and all that stuff? What's the difference between him and the three tight ends we mentioned in buy or sell? Hayden Hurst, Logan Thomas, Zach Ertz, obviously older guys, names we've heard of before, but they're the same thing. It's the same thing. It's a check down guy. He's a red zone threat. He's middle of the field. He's never going to be a splash play. But I'm getting it, just target share for me. All four of them had the same amount of target share.
They don't play for the Cowboys. Huge difference. Offensive environment. If Hayden Hurst played for the Cowboys, I'd be all over Hayden Hurst. He plays for the Panthers. You saw how bad Bryce Young looked. DJ Shark's coming back into the mix. Zach Ertz and Logan Thomas, their injuries waiting to happen. They've got talented guys behind them on the depth chart. So I want the tight end, the Cowboys offense. And if Ferguson's going to run 100% of the tight end routes in that offense, I'm starting him, period.
The one tight end I want to bring up, I do love my guy Musgrave, just have to say. Very happy with Musgrave week one, but it's not the guy I'm going to bring up. It's tied to the quarterback I brought up, Jared Goff. I think Sam Laporta has a huge day against this Seattle defense down the middle of the field. Tyler Higbee, oh, he played so well and was open all the time for Matt Stafford against this same Seattle defense. And listen, we all love Bobby Wagner. That guy's walking into a gold jacket when he retires. He's one of the best players to ever play the game. There's a reason LA attacked him over and over and over again during that game, because they had him in the building last year, and they know what they can do in the passing game against him and his coverage skills. Sam Laporta should eat up this team. Ashton Amon Ross St. Brown, middle of the field, wide open. I love Laporta's chances in this offense. That's my tight end, Dell.
You owe me an apology, Tony Squares, for criticizing me ranking Sam Laporta over Kyle Pitts in week one. I want my apology right now. Thank you in advance.
Listen, Kyle Pitts again was open 75% of the routes he ran. Desmond Ridder just doesn't know how to throw a football. Maybe might be left-handed. It might be a Ben Simmons NBA thing. Maybe Desmond Ridder's left-handed. Have we tried that out? Because he can't throw the ball with his right hand. Dell, who's the Dell defense of the week? Because again, last year, if we want to talk about receipts here, Dell, someone on this show gave out not a defense that was a loser, but a defense that was 32nd out of 32 teams last week as the Dell's defense of the week. Let's be better this week. Who we got?
I did say I like Tua, so there you go.
Also, the Chargers dropped about three interceptions from Tua, but anyway, I digress.
It was just you don't want to go against that Dolphins offense right now. But, okay, there's a couple options, but you know what? One that could be a borderline start. They're ranked as 14th overall in the industry right now in the consensus. It's your boys, man. Look at your jersey. I like the Packers. I you know why I love the Packers? Is because you can't throw on them, and they can sell out to stop the run against Atlanta. And if Atlanta needs to throw or has to throw against Green Bay, it's going to be a complete disaster. I expect Ridder to get torn up against the Green Bay defense in week two. I really like Green Bay a lot.
This has a chance to be a terrible running theme for us, because I do love the Packers, but probably my favorite team when we're talking about predictions this year was the Los Angeles Chargers, and you picked them as a defense, and they just got absolutely lambasted, and then now you're taking my favorite team, Green Bay, against the team that they should beat up defensively. And if Green Bay gets the crap kicked out of them, I'm blaming you, Dell. I think this is the kiss of death out of you for teams that I like and the defense that you pick. But before we leave, it's time for the kicker, kicker, winner, winner, kicker dinner. One day I'll get that right. The winner, winner, kicker dinner. Who we got? Last week it was the Dallas kicker, who I still don't know the name of. He finished as the 11th kicker overall. Pretty good start.
Yeah, so I'm going to toot my own horn for this, because there's 160 or so analysts in the Fantasy Pros Expert Accuracy Competition, and I was number one out of 150-plus in my kicker accuracy rankings for week one. So I'm patting myself on the back for this one, even though some of my other positions weren't so great after week one. But, you know, we live and learn, and we bounce back for week two here. But, look, I said if Brandon Aubrey did well for me, I'd drop him and I'd pick a backup running back to stash on my bench for the week, and I'm waiting until the week starts to pick up another kicker. And you know me, Tony, I'm looking for the game totals with 45-plus, 50-plus points if we can get them. And, you know, Brandon Aubrey's up there too, but at the same time, you know, one guy I really like a lot, he's like a borderline top 10. I've got him inside my top four, Brandon McManus for the Jacksonville Jaguars. If he's available on your waiver wire, I love the point total and the offensive potential for a back and forth between Kansas City and Jacksonville. Both teams are going to be hungry to rebound after kind of subpar performances there in week one. So I think I expect a lot out of both offenses, and I just want one of those kickers in one of those high point total games. Brandon McManus for me.
And that is it for the week two of the Fantasy Favorites podcast with Tony Squares and the prince of player props himself, Mr. Chris Dell. He is the sports editor of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and their lead fantasy analyst. Thank you to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette for presenting this podcast, the North Shore Drive podcast family for having us on their channel, and of course on YouTube at PG Sports Now for having us, these two pretty faces, talk to you every week about fantasy football. Week two is going to be better than week one, I promise you. I cannot wait to watch some of these games. Let's get it on. See you next week, buddy.
Let's do it.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you enjoyed the video, please like it and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our Apple Podcast channel for more podcast content. Click below for a special deal of 99 cents for a 3-month subscription to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.